Good evening. Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently, it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. The end at an early age of one of the two most spectacular careers in the history of American entertainment, the other being Frank Sinatra's.
That news report aired on this day in 1977, the day Elvis Presley died. He was known as the King of Rock and Roll and remains one of the best-selling solo artists in the history of music. Even today, people flock to his former home at Graceland to remember him. Filmmaker Eugene Jarecki decided to tell the story of Elvis in his documentary, The King, which connects Elvis's legacy to today's America. I spoke with him when the documentary was released.
Well, I don't think you can separate Elvis Presley from what's ever happening in America. I mean, who is more closely linked to our idea, our hopes, our dreams, our love of America than somebody like Elvis? And I say somebody like Elvis, there's nobody like Elvis. Elvis was the epitome of the American dream for so long, and I grew up with that deep love that Americans have for him. And as I got older and started to take stock more closely, I had to ask myself about many dreams and about many nostalgic ideas. How true are they still today? What do they mean to me today?
And are you saying that Elvis is responsible for the fall of the American dream, or that he just is, he's a symbol of what happened?
He's like a canary in the coal mine. Mm. We should have taken our notes when Elvis was destroyed by the very forces that are destroying America today. Unchecked greed, the lust for power and money being placed on a pedestal above real priorities, the of the people, by the people, for the people priorities to which we should be devoted. Instead, this is a country that has an out-of-control love of power and money, and we have allowed that to empower the 0.00001% to run this country into a horror show at the expense of everyone but themselves.
You visit Elvis's birthplace of Tupelo, Mississippi, which tells its own story about that. Yes. It hasn't really changed very much from when Elvis was living there.
We took Elvis's Rolls Royce across America, and I wanted to make sure that we followed his ghost in a way across the American landscape today to really take stock. If Elvis were alive and he wandered through those same places, what would the world look like? And so, of course, we began in Tupelo, where Elvis was born and where he was marinated in a poor community of farmers. Particularly, he was marinated in the black community as well, mm-hmm. which affected him musically, culturally, and socially. And we wanted to really get a feel for that. And boy, did we get a feel as soon as we got out of that car.
Actually, you say that he was marinated in the black community. There's a quote in your film, he's a white man with a Negro sound and a Negro feel.
That's what Peter Guralnick, who's the biographer of Elvis, talks about when he talks about when Sam Phillips, the great musical producer, discovered Elvis. He had been trying to introduce white Americans, mass Americans, to a black sound, which he understood had such extraordinary depth of contribution to be made. But he couldn't get black artists over. He was struggling and struggling, as Chuck D points out in the film. And then along came this guy who, as Chuck D says, you know, you could package this black sound with a white face. And Sam Phillips was no idiot. He saw marketing opportunity where for Elvis, I think there was a real genuine musical love and connection.
Well, let's listen to an example of that that's in your film. This is the version of the song that everyone will recognize, Hound Dog, from Elvis. Here it is.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time.
Okay, and this is the version that came first from Big Mama Thornton.
You ain't nothing but
Now, this one didn't do very well, did it?
No, and isn't that the story of black America? And isn't that the story of the white theft of black culture? That which gets popularized and gets the money thrown behind it, and the one who gets named the king, isn't always the one we would think of as the more groundbreaking, the more remarkable, the deeper.
I have to say, since watching your film, I've been listening to Big Mama Thornton's version of Hound Dog, which I actually think is better than Elvis.
She's incredible.
It's incredible.
She's incredible in it. And listen, they're different. And it's not that I want to sort of equivocate here. Elvis's matters. Elvis's was groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. The way that Elvis took a black sound and made it his own was an amazing moment of cultural sharing. You know, there's been a lot of talk about racism in Elvis, and Chuck D is in the film in many ways to help us understand that better. Because what Chuck D points out that I think is so valuable is that at the time Elvis did songs like Hound Dog, when he was doing music that came out of a black musical tradition, it was an amazingly courageous and daring thing for a white guy to be doing. Mm-hmm. So we want to commend that. But it's totally different to then look at the never-ending theft by white America of blackness and of stealing from black people their culture, stealing the black people themselves as we once did, stealing their labor, stealing so much from black people. And Elvis finds himself in the crosshairs of that discussion, perhaps by no fault other than having been an actually genuinely inspired person. Mm. But we have real accusations to make about the white music system and how it's hurt black people.
Why do you think he spent so much of his later career making these terrible Hollywood films instead of making music?
He was seduced. And I think because he was a country boy, he was vulnerable to the seductions of power and money. Emmylou Harris is so magnificent in the film. And one of the things she points out is that when this happened to Elvis, being a country boy and suddenly exploding into supernova levels of power and success, it had never happened to anybody before. He had no role model. And anybody's heart has to go out to a young Elvis Presley trying to deal with the whole world suddenly being laid out before you. How are you supposed to keep your wits together and maintain your authenticity, the very thing that made you great?
You know, I grew up after Elvis. I grew up in the 1980s, and I did have my Elvis moment where I became obsessed with his songs. But I sort of pictured him as the old, fat, drugged-out Elvis. In this film, we see him, you know, long before that. You can see why he became such a success.
When he hit the world, this is one of the most beautiful people anybody had ever looked at. And he's also coinciding with the explosion of the mass media invention in America. We are unleashing levels of power through cinema and television and radio that the world has never really experienced before. And we're combining that with the firepower of such a truly beautiful, majestic, authentic creature, this Elvis Presley. What is an Elvis Presley? It's a funny name with this amazing figure who's part black, part white, looks like a Greek statue one second, looks vaguely like a woman the next second. And so there's no question why we fell in love with him at a time. But I'll be honest with you, when I see the older, he wasn't that old, just
right,
42.
Right, in his 40s, right.
Yeah, he's 42 when he died. He just looks like life has beaten him up. And yeah. I think it's because you take that beautiful, innocent, authentic soul and you put him through things that nobody had been through before that are the seeds of how America herself has gone wrong. And he's like the battering ram of all that. He's at the front of it, taking the first incredible wave of seductions and underminings and abuse from carbohydrates to drugs to consumption to vanity to violence. It's all falling on Elvis. But that older person, that 42-year-old person who's so talked about as kind of the fat Elvis, I find him incredibly beautiful too. And he sings at the end of the film Unchained Melody, yeah. And it's unbearably beautiful, yeah. What he offers us.
Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much for you.
Do you still have that car, the 63 Rolls Royce that belonged to Elvis?
We had to resell it at the end. That was the deal when the film was over. And I was always afraid, what if we fail to resell it? What if I wrap it around a tree or something? But I can proudly tell you the car has been sold in an amazing and rather poetic way. It's pretty fascinating what happened.
What happened?
I got a call one day that there was a buyer for the car. And I was adamant that we only sell the car for the exact cost that we had put into the car in buying it and restoring it and dealing with what we had done to it in filming, which was considerable. So we've restored the car. We had done all that. And I said, will the buyer go for that? Yep, they'll go for the price, but they need it right away. And I said, why do they need it right away? We're about to release the film. I want the car around for the release of the film. They said, nope, they need it right away. I said, who are these people? Turned out, hold on to your hat, the buyer is the Seminole Indian Nation of the state of Florida,
wow.
Who have bought the failed Trump Taj Mahal Casino and Hotel in Atlantic City. Mm. They have built on its site the new Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and they have made Elvis's roles the centerpiece of the Hard Rock.
Wow.
We even agreed that they would make a donation to Stax Music Academy, which is the sort of African-American roots of music that touched Elvis so very much, in the purchase of the car. So we've been able to give a very substantial donation to Stax to continue the incredible work that they're doing in the inner city of Memphis.
It's also interesting because there's a moment in your film when Elvis goes and visits with a young Native American girl, right? And then you speak to her mother.
Yeah, and the poetry of that is amazing because, as you may know, Native Americans treasure Elvis in part also because he belongs to them too. Elvis was part Native American. So there again, everywhere I look, I see Elvis in the American story, from our deepest origins to our contemporary crisis.
That's Eugene Jarecki speaking with me last year. His documentary film about Elvis Presley is called The King. Elvis died 42 years ago today. It's here and now.
Wise men say, only fools.